It is time for worship and wellness, friends. The best way to start your day. Stay happy and healthy till day's end. It's called the Refreshing Way. Start your day the Refreshing Way. There's quiz time with questions and testimonies. Always a time for prayer. It's your worship and wellness broadcast. Start your day, enjoy day, the Refreshing.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to worship on the Worship and Wellness Broadcast. This is Pastor Shalom Flemons, and it is the Holy Sabbath day. Amen, my brothers and sisters. The Bible says, thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them, and on the seventh day, not the first day of the week, Sunday, which is tomorrow, the seventh day God rested. It said he sanctified and blessed this holy time. Oh, my brothers and sisters, God is merciful. We're going to go to the throne of grace. My wife, undreamed of, will take us there right now. For opening prayer.
Let's pray, Father in heaven, eternal Lord, we thank you for this time to come together on your Sabbath day. We ask that you would bless this morning's broadcast by anointing the words of our pastor, filling him with your spirit, and blessing us always to grow in grace and wisdom. For this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Our opening song is It's About Time for the Coming of Christ.
It's about time for the coming of Christ, your King. It's about time, O Christian. It's about time. It's about
going to be having a series today. And so we're going to be talking about speaking in tongues. This is part one. Part two of speaking in tongues will be at our Sabbath service at 12. So if you want to hear part two, you've got to come and join us. My brothers and sisters, people of God, we need to know what is true. And God is going to show us on this day what is true. Let us pray. Dear Father in heaven, thank you very much for the Holy Spirit that guides us into all truth according to John 16:13. We thank you, Lord, for the truth that is in your word. We dedicate this message to you, and we especially have on our hearts those who have once known truth and have walked away from truth. We pray they have not committed the unpardonable sin. We see in their lives a lack of love. We see in their lives a lack of obedience. And we pray that you will have mercy. And those of us who may not have heard these things for the first and might be hearing them for the first time, we pray that the Spirit of the living God will fall afresh on us all at this time, that we will hear the voice of God speaking through the Word of God, and that we will be converted, and some of us baptized at a future time, and some rebaptized at a future time. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Yes, my brothers and sisters, I will start by taking us to the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28, and the Bible says, "And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and in the name of the Son, and in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen." Brothers and sisters, some of you listening may need to be baptized. You might say, well, I've been baptized. Yes, but if you study the Bible, you will find that when there was significant truth that you learned, truth that was necessary for salvation, that a rebaptism was necessary. And friends, God's going to have us have a baptism. We don't know exactly when, but God is just leading in that direction. So we want you to begin to pray to say, Lord, should I be a part of that baptism? It will have some some preparation. That preparation might be in this broadcast, maybe outside of this broadcast. But the point being made is we're going to have a baptism by the grace of God. All right, my friends, in Acts chapter 2, we're studying speaking in tongues. We're not going to go through the entire chapter because speaking in tongues part 1 deals with Acts 2. And the most popular chapter that deals with speaking in tongues is in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, okay? We'll deal with that in the Sabbath service. So you have to join us. I'll go ahead and put it in the chat, but you might want to write this down. And those who are on our WhatsApp list, you'll get an automatic, announcement, okay? It'll come today. On your WhatsApp, and those on Facebook, I'll post it here. But it's 3947, okay? And then the password, that is Zoom. So that's the Zoom ID. The password in small letters is Torso, okay? So if you want to join us, my brothers and sisters, 557-587-3947 is the Zoom ID, and then the password is Torso in small letters. That'll be at 12 noon today. The Bible says, "And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place." Now, let me tell you why there's so much confusion and division on this. I have brothers and sisters that I knew that understood the truth about this, then left the truth about this, and they got involved in what the Catholic Church wanted them to get involved with, which is an emotional religion, okay, that denied truth. I'm not against happiest that people whose God is the Lord. I'm not against happiness and joy, which can be considered an emotion. But at the same time, you don't walk away from truth. You don't redefine and start twisting the truth, friend. So the bottom line is, Roman. What do I mean by the Roman Catholic Church? In 1960, they said we should have an emotional religion, emotional church services. They wanted the church services to be based on emotion. It was in Vatican II, and that was the first Vatican. Think about that as a Catholic General Conference. That was the first Vatican Council where Protestants were invited. So there were Protestants from all denominations that we know. We don't know who all went. I shouldn't say that, from all denominations, from many denominations. Okay, were there Baptist, Methodist, Presbyterians? That's what we understand. Were there Seventh-day Adventists? I don't know, but they came right in line. Many of them began to bring in, and you might not like what I'm about to say, but prior to this, there was not things like the same instruments that are used in the club and the same beats and the same sounds that you find in the club. That was not in the church, brothers and sisters. Not before 1960. Maybe you might find some in the Pentecostal churches, that kind of thing, but that wasn't full scale. Matter of fact, there was no such thing as a full gospel Baptist, as if the other Baptists didn't have the full gospel. You see, full gospel Baptist basically means that now we're just like the Pentecostals. We speak in tongues. We have a full gospel. You see, the rest of them only had half the gospel. That's what that implies. And I'm here to tell you it's a big lie. Vatican II, they decided around 1960 to change the way we do church. The Catholic Church would love any way they can to cause you not to follow the Bible. So if they can get us emotional, feeling like the Holy Ghost has filled us, and we're jumping around, and we're foaming at the mouth, and we're exposing ourselves when we fall over, so women have to bring towels and sheets or whatever and cover us, and we call that the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Brothers and sisters, that's not the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And I know Sabbath keepers that got involved in that. And guess what I know? I know that they stopped loving people the way they ought to, because they stopped seeking for souls. Their churches stopped growing, okay? And it's just pretty much the same old people. I'm not trying to say some new people haven't come, but if they have the outpouring of the Holy Spirit in the powerful speaking in tongues, they should have been growing exponentially. And so they're not. And some of them, it's just the same old people for the most part. And so, brothers and sisters, and when people reach out to them who used to be a part of them, who just want to say hi, they won't even answer the call. Okay? Because how is that love? You see, I want to bring you to this first verse that they all, it says, they were all with one accord in one place. God took disciples that were fighting one another, saying, who's going to be the greatest in the kingdom? But they got filled with the Holy Ghost, and they put aside those foolish differences, and they came together. Now, you say, well, I can't worship with him. He did this. Did you see him do that? No, you just heard that he did that. Okay? So you need to back up. You took up a reproach. And guess what? You're not going to be saved if you take up a reproach. Taking up a reproach is listening to evil reports without going to the person to see and see, let them clear themselves in the matter. That's what taking up a reproach is. And some of you are going to hell because you listen to gossip, and it's not even the truth. Okay? So the bottom line is, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. We've been studying James, John, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, and we've learned the theme was two things: love each other and keep God's commandments. And we learned that a lot of people keep the commandments. They talk about faithfulness to God in that way, but they don't show love. People, they will let you die in hell if they think you've gone off and have apostatized. They'll let you go to hell. That's not how Jesus was. He went and saved to seek and save the lost, my brothers and sisters. Somebody that got caught up in sin, Jesus would go try to save them. We are so far from Jesus, and we think we're holy. We're not holy. We're an abomination to the Lord, and we're preaching every Sabbath, and we don't have the love of God in our hearts, and we're not able to reach the souls that we could reach, and we are involved in some fanaticism, and we just need to repent of our sins. There are others that I know, brothers and sisters, that I don't know whether they speak in tongues, but they do about a lot of other things that they didn't used to believe were true. But they have a concept that we don't know how to study the Bible, see, and they believe that you study each verse in its proper context and that you only limit it to that context. You know, I sent them a letter. Nobody's responded. I've said, listen, show me in the Bible where when we read a verse, we limit it to the context of the time that it was written, because that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says of Jesus, and beginning at Moses. Now, Jesus was in the New Testament time, and this is after his resurrection. It says, and beginning at Moses. Moses wrote Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. He says, and beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. So Jesus did not limit a verse to the context of the time in which it was written. He allowed the context to be as broad as that context could be broad. Now, when it would go outside of that, he didn't take things out of context. But the bottom line, brothers and sisters, right in the book of Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, when Satan, in the serpent, the message was to Satan, but mentioned to the serpent, and it says, I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, and it said, and it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Brothers and sisters, if you bruise the head of a serpent, they have like a baby, has a little soft spot in the head. A serpent has that forever, where the baby's skull will close up. The serpent has a soft spot. And if you can bruise the head in the right way, you can kill the biggest snake, brothers and sisters. So God was telling the devil, you're going to be destroyed by the Son of God, because the Bible says in Galatians chapter 3, Christ is the seed. You see, so God was giving in the ears of Adam and Eve a promise that outside of their time period, a long time after their time period, specifically 4,000 years after their time period, in the New Testament time, the New Covenant time, as some of you all would say, Jesus was going to die and save them. So my brothers and sisters, you don't limit a verse to the context of the time in which it was written. You let it expand to all possible times that it could apply to. And then if it doesn't apply, it just doesn't apply, but because it doesn't apply to everything. But the point being made is that is the mistake these people are making, and therefore they are in error, brothers and sisters, and they're leading others in error. And I'm going to help them find truth with the help of God, because I love them. Matter of fact, I was their first pastor, probably only pastor. Things didn't work out, but God is still good, and I love them. And the bottom line, brothers and sisters, is that we're supposed to be on one accord. I'm going to tell you this. If you want to work with me and talk with me and you want to follow Jesus, I want to work with you and talk with you and follow Jesus. Bottom line, end of story. And that's how I live my life, brothers and sisters. I don't cut people off. Now, there are situations where you just can't work with some people. That's fine, okay? But if the people want to work with you, and you don't have any reason biblically why they can't work with you because you didn't see them do some abominable thing, okay, then you're supposed to be trying to work with them. You're not supposed to have your own private club. But let's get to speaking in tongues. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And I want to say this before I move on from here. Why are there Baptists, Methodists, Presbyterians, Jehovah's Witnesses, all these different things? And Seventh-day Adventists, I talked to a Jehovah's Witness yesterday. See, things don't happen by chance. You know how when somebody calls you, brothers and sisters, you can see the red missed call? Okay, now, sometimes people can commandeer your phone number. There's tricksters and I can't think of the name, hackers, okay? They might commandeer your phone number and use it for wrong purposes. But the bottom line is I had a missed call. I called the person back. He swore up and down he didn't call me. I said, sir, I'm not arguing. I just have a missed call from this number. So we both agreed that maybe there might have been a hacker or whatever. But I told him, I said, you know, things don't happen by chance. So let me just tell you what we do. And I start telling about God and the health message. And he abruptly said, well, you know, thank you, but I'm not interested. I'm Jehovah's Witnesses. I said, they get sick too. Matter of fact, a lot of Jehovah's Witnesses are sick, brothers and sisters. And, you know, we started talking. I said, you know what? Listen, I'm not here to attack Jehovah's Witnesses, but I tell you what. Don't you think that blindly submitting to eight men at Bethel who keep changing the doctrine, they've changed several times, when it's convenient. They said certain things would happen back in certain days, and it never happened. They predicted different things that didn't happen, and they don't have an expert. You know, they just say, you know, and so the people just follow them blindly. I started sharing scripture. Well, he didn't really want to hear that, but I just wanted to drop that seed. Brothers and sisters, don't listen to me unless I'm sharing the truth. So you're really following the truth. Check everything out that I say. That's what the Bible said. In Acts chapter 17, verse 11, those who examined the leadership and what the leadership taught were commended, not condemned. In Jehovah's Witnesses, if you want to challenge or check out what the men at Bethel give to you, you're condemned. You're put out of the church. That's not what it was in the Bible. It says in Acts 17:11, and these were more noble than those in Thessalonica in that they received the word with all readiness of mind. Listen to the brothers at Bethel. Hear what they have to say. Then they searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. Every day they went home and say, okay, can we prove this from the Bible? Can we prove what they said from the Bible? Can we prove what they said from the Bible? You see, leaders who know they're teaching the truth won't have a problem with you examining. It's those that know they're not teaching the truth that want to come up with a doctrine and say, don't challenge me, I'm the pastor. And many of people who are Seventh-day Adventists and present truth do not have this idea. I know a pastor, I used to work with him, and he says, God speaks through me, and if you want my help, you got to trust that God speaks through me. In other words, don't check me out. Don't examine what I say. Just accept it blindly. Shame on you. You didn't used to teach that. You didn't used to believe that. You used to allow the people to go to the Word of God and check out what you said from the Bible. And I would add the spirit of prophecy, because which is in the Bible, which is mentioned in the Bible. Okay? And so, my brothers and sisters, we have a cultish ways that have come into the church of the Most High, Christianity, period, whatever you want to call it, cultish ways where people follow. Now, please understand, let me give you my definition of cult, a cult. The biggest cult is the Roman Catholic Church because they follow a man blindly. Whatever the Pope says, they blindly follow. And they've been wrong, although they claim infallibility. They used to teach the world was flat. Now, in Galileo, they persecuted him because he said, it was round. Now I think they accept that it's round. But they've changed many times, many things, brothers and sisters. And guess what? They changed the Sabbath from Saturday to Sunday and claim it's their mark of authority. So all you people who are worshiping on Sunday, you're actually living in obedience and compliance with the Roman Catholic Church. You're actually worshiping the Pope. I don't care if you call yourself Baptist, Methodist, Presbyterian. And they laugh at you. They laugh at you. I've read it to you. They laugh and they say, you say you follow the Bible, but you're doing what we did. You're following a day and worshiping on a day that we created and said was the day of worship. But you're wrong because you won't accept our other teachings, you see. And they laugh. Yeah, you say you're following the Bible, but there's nothing in the Bible about Sunday worship. And I'm just telling you what they say, and it's the truth. Jesus said, once you know better now, when you worship, it's vain if it's not the truth. He said, in vain do you worship me, teaching for doctrine the commandments of men. So there are Sabbath keepers teaching the commandments of men that's not in the Bible. There are Sunday keepers teaching commandments that are not the commandments of God, friends. Let's get back to this verse here. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it set upon each of them. You see, the Spirit of God can't fall on some of you because you won't humble yourself to come in one accord. You're proud. I've been part of a movement, brothers and sisters, and I've seen a lot of selfishness in this movement, a lot of pride. People think that I want to take over the church, and the reality is they want to be the one in charge of the church. So they have to make sure that I'm marginalized and kept in my place because, you know, they want to make sure that they get to be the president. God has revealed that to me, okay? And so the bottom line, friends, is that we need to humble ourselves and say, look, we're trying to go home, and whatever it takes to go home, we need to do. And whoever God sends to help where help is needed, let's use that help, not abuse that help, friends. And we have a lot of abusers today, and they think they're going to heaven, but they are not. And so the Bible says, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. So here's the point. If you speak in tongues and it's biblical, it's the Holy Spirit that gives you that utterance. Okay, so let's learn what that was. And there was dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men of every nation under heaven. Now when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own language. So, brothers and sisters, when true Bible speaking in tongues happens, the people are speaking actual languages. Might be Japanese, might be Chinese, might be German, might be Italian. But you speak another language that is not a language that you learned in by growing up in that language, or a language you didn't just learn in language school. But you can learn languages. But the bottom line, this was an instantaneous gift that was poured out upon them by the Holy Ghost. God doesn't just waste gifts. He doesn't give gifts that are not needed. They were going to learn that this was Pentecost, and Jews from all around the then known world had assembled. And so this was an opportunity using this gift to spread the gospel, because they would go home and they would be taught about the Messiah in their own language under the manifestation of the Holy Spirit. And that's why God gave the speaking in tongues, so that they could hear the gospel. It says they heard them in their own language. Verse 7, and they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? And how hear we every man in our own tongue wherein we were born? Then it tells where they were from: Parthians and Medes and Elamites and the dwellers in Mesopotamia and Judea and Cappadocia, in Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, in Egypt and in the parts of Libya around Cyrene, and strangers of Rome, Jews and proselytes, Greeks and Arabians. We do hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God. So when you go to church and people fall out and they say that stuff that sounds like gibberish, whatever, that is not the Holy Ghost. Did I say they're going to hell? No. Some of them don't know better, and they got caught up in the trance that we can get caught up in. They have done studies and found out that places like Africa, certain parts of Africa, when they induce with the sound of the drum, the beating of the drum and the dancing, they can induce a trance-like state. And what comes out of the mouth is the same thing that comes out in Pentecostal churches, in holiness churches, and some people in Sabbath-keeping churches. It's the same sound. It's not the Holy Ghost. And you can have been deceived into that and think it's the Holy Spirit. I know many a person that used to speak in tongues that used to speak in gibberish and now has come to the knowledge of the truth. And now they know. Because think about this. If you were so filled with the Holy Ghost so that you couldn't even control what comes out of your mouth, don't you think God would teach you his commandments? If he's going to control you so that you have no control over your body movement, you're dancing and waving and falling over and foaming at the mouth and speaking, the Holy Ghost has got you so under his control, don't you think he would teach you the truth about what happens when we die? Instead of you thinking that you go straight to hell, you realize now, wait a minute, that's not what the Bible teaches. That came from the Roman Catholic Church. Don't you think God would bring you into a knowledge of his commandments if he would so control you that you have no control? Don't you think he would at least tell you about the commandments? You see, but we don't need to learn about that. We've already been filled with the Spirit. It's a deception. It's a deception. It's a deception, my friend. And I'm here to tell you that many are deceived, and even in Sabbath-keeping services, people are getting involved in this foolish emotionalism, and it came from Rome. Rome said, we got to find a way to keep these people from studying the Bible, because they're going to expose us in the books of, like, Revelation, because the Bible speaks about the Roman Catholic Church and Daniel and Revelation and Thessalonians and other verses. We can't have them studying that, Rome said. We've got to find a way to make them think that God is with them without them studying that Bible. So let's get them emotionally happy, and they'll think that that's the feeling of the gift of the Holy Ghost. Okay? So brothers and sisters, when the tongues were first given, they were languages. And we're going to show you that when Paul talks about it in 1 Corinthians 14, we're going to see if it changed. So that is part two, okay? If I have spoken anything that is not in the Bible, show it to me. I'll be humble enough to apologize, unlike some of you who will never apologize, unfortunately, and you'll be lost some of you, I pray, will be humble enough to apologize and repent of your sins. You'll be accepted of God. You'll be accepted of God's people, God's true people, okay? Because God's true people just want to see you in heaven. God's true people aren't trying to prove a point. God's people, true people aren't trying to embarrass you. God's true people aren't trying to, you know, have nothing to do with you and call themselves godly, okay? They were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, "What meaneth this?" Others mocking said, "These men are full of new wine." But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, "Ye men of Galilee, and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words, for these are not drunken as ye suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel." So he said to those of you who only study a verse in the context in which it was written, Peter went back to Joel and applied Joel to his time. And Joel chapter 2 is also applied again at a time that is about to come upon us, called the latter rain. It says, "And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God," he's quoting Joel, "I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaids will I pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy." So, brothers and sisters, God said the speaking in tongues is prophesying, and prophesying is teaching the truth. That's what prophesying is. It's teaching the truth. It may have sometimes a prophetic message to it, but prophesying is teaching the truth. So Peter said that what you see in Acts chapter 2 is prophesying. They spoke in other languages the wonderful works of God. That's what the Bible said. So that is your foundation. So if there's something different, like it is proposed that it changed, and when by the time you get to 1 Corinthians 14, it became gibberish. Okay, and we spoke in a holy language, and we pray in a holy language that only God understands. Okay, and therefore, what people are doing when they fall out on Sabbath and fall out on Sunday and speak in gibberish on these days, that it is taught that this is the outpouring of the Holy Ghost. Oh, my brothers and sisters, the Bible says it's a fulfillment of Joel, and they were to prophesy. That means to teach the truth. "And I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before that great and notable day of the Lord come." So, brothers and sisters, this was the beginning, and then the last days continue on into, we're finally in the last of the last days, and We're in the toenails of time, and we have seen the sun darken and the moon turn to blood. It actually took place in the 1700s, maybe 1800s. I'm not remembering the exact date at this time. "And it shall come to pass that whoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." That means name represents character. Those who really want the love of Jesus to fall upon them, who want the love of lovely Jesus with his love to fall upon them and come into them, that's who's going to be saved. Those of you who stand aloof and think you're so holy and just because you can quote scriptures back and forth and so on and so forth, you think that that gives you some kind of edge, you are so far from the truth, and you're going to lead a whole movement astray. You don't have the love of God, brothers and sisters, if you're not trying to seek and save the lost. Work with people who are teaching the truth. You're just in your own private club. God's going to leave you over there too, and you're not going to finish the work. Those who finish the work will come together. We will put aside differences. We will strive to understand what is truth, and there will be a people in the last days. But if God revisits and reinstitutes the speaking of tongues, it will be in the same situation where it will be necessary for people to hear you preach in their language the wonderful works of God. So every gift is not always necessary because the circumstances don't allow it. Everybody, there's so many people that speak different languages, and now they're interpreters and these types of things. And I mean, most people in America speak English, right? So it's not really that it's necessary, in my opinion. This is my opinion, that God give us the gift of tongues if we're in America. Now, if he sends me to a Spanish church, a Haitian church, whatever, and the Spirit of God comes upon me, and I can, now I'm starting to speak Creole and Spanish, so on and so forth, if that gift is necessary at that time, then that's when it will be manifested. But brothers and sisters, as a general rule, there's plenty of people in a Haitian church that speak English, so they just bring an interpreter and invite me to speak, and they'll use the interpreter. I've been there, done that, okay? So it's not necessary, and that's why. So as we move on, it says, "You men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know, him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holding of it." Death can't hold Jesus in the grave. Praise God. All right, brothers and sisters. We're going to stop there, okay? But after we, tomorrow we're going to pick up on the part two, because it talks about David and what David, where David is right now, whether he's in heaven. And we know he's a good man. He wrote a good portion of the Old Testament. Even though he did some wrong things, God forgave him because he was, unlike some of us, he was truly repentant. He was willing to say, "I have sinned." And therefore, he's called a man after God's own heart. Men after God's own heart aren't men who did everything right. Men after God's own heart are men who are humble enough to say, "I'm sorry." You know, I found that that's a hard thing for people to say. They will see the evidences that God is with you, but they won't give you a call to say, "You know what, I might have been wrong." They're too proud, brothers and sisters, and God's going to leave them behind. I'm so sad to say it, but God is going to have a people that will finish his work. Are you going to be one of them? Are you going to be humble and humble yourself, brothers and sisters, and say, "You know what, let me try to work with people who it is clear that God is with. I didn't see them do anything wrong. I just heard that they did. Maybe we might have some differences. Let's come in, to the table with our Bibles to see if we can't correct these differences and see. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm seeing something wrong." Whatever the case might be, friends, whatever the circumstance is, you will find that there is so much lack of love in the work of God, in the among the professed people of God, and those who won't have anything to do with people because they think these people are this or that, they're not going to be saved, and I want them saved. I hope they hear this message in the name of Jesus. All right, friends, we're going to wrap it up, and because it's the Sabbath, we will not have a health message today, and we will definitely pick it back up on the health side back on Monday. But on tomorrow, we're going to – no, we'll be able to pick it back up tomorrow because today we're going to be doing part two of in our Sabbath service of speaking in tongues. So definitely you want to come, tell other people about it, get people up on Facebook. It will be to see the link, but it will be on Zoom, my brothers and sisters. It will be on Zoom. One of these days we'll figure out how to make Zoom on YouTube and Facebook. There is a way of doing that. But nonetheless, God is good. We will be having that service on at 12 noon Eastern time. Join us, will you please? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this day. We thank you for the Holy Spirit who guides us into all truth. We ask that you bless and keep us, cause your face to shine upon us and give us peace as we've gone through part one of how to speak, or speaking in tongues. We pray that people were enlightened, convicted, and want to be baptized into truth so that we will, Father, meet the requirement. We see some people are baptized for the first time in the baptism of repentance, and then there are others when they heard new significant truths were rebaptized, and we pray that people begin to pray about that. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. All right, my brothers and sisters, God is good. We're going to, at this time, close out the broadcast. And I'll do a little roll call, and then I'll ask my wife if she'll just have a closing prayer to close out the broadcast. We have on Facebook, South Carolina. We have North Carolina. God bless you, and thank you for your kind words. And then we have on the call, we have Ohio. We have Maryland. We have Delaware, Delaware, and Delaware again. We have Ohio again. We have Oklahoma. We have Georgia. And that wraps that up. God bless you. My wife will close us out at this time. Well, actually, I'm not so sure if she's available. I'll go ahead and close us out. Father in heaven, thank you so much. Oh, she is. Okay, great.
Father in heaven, we thank you for this time of worship. We pray that your spirit will continue to be throughout us, Lord, throughout this day as we stay in this time of holiness during your sacred hours of your Sabbath. We pray that you will continue to lead us through your spirit, guide us, instruct, and direct our lives. We ask that you will continue to help us to draw close to you. And as we study out your word, allow your spirit to teach us the things we need to know. Bless every heart in a special way is our prayer to you on this day. Amen.
Amen. God is good, my brothers and sisters. And at this time, we will close out with our closing song, I Will Trust in the Lord.
I will trust in the Lord.